Hanina on Samatef and Aleph, whether you require Tchilasan v'sofan or Tchilasan Alpha v'shein sofan, sofan Alpha v'shein Tchilasan. Is it sufficient b'di'evet to have a b'dika on day 1 or day 7, or do you even b'di'evet require b'dika on day 1 and day 7? So we noted that even though most Rishonim Paskin like Rav, that a b'dika either on day 1 or day 7 should be sufficient, but the Mechaber is Choshesh for the position of the Bali Tosfos, Sefer Truman, Smag, and concludes the Ein Lahakel, that one has no license to be Mako for anything less than a b'dika on day 1 and day 7. We left off last time discussing the Dagon Rivava, who comments here based on the Smag. Afilu lo badka b'yom rishon abadka b'echon miyamim ha'emsayim, even if she doesn't perform a b'dika on day 1, but she does perform a b'dika on, let's say, day 3, v'gam b'yom ha'shvi and another b'dika on day 7, gam ha'smag moda sha'alula. So that would be sufficient, even if you didn't do a b'dika on day 1. If you did a b'dika on day 3 and day 7, that would be sufficient b'di'evet. The Piskei Tshuva in Sifkaten Vav quotes on the Tshuva's Noda Behuda, Yaradeya Simen Kuf Chav Ches, Dedafka Rishon Shvi Beinan, that you require B'dikas on day 1 and 7, Aval in Badka Derech Mashal B'Rishon V'Shlishi, Lo Mahani. But if a woman would be B'dekas on day 1 and day 3, and that's it, that would not work. Ve'eina Yechol Litbol B'Shvi, and then she can't go to the mikvah on that basis. And the Piskei Tshuva editorializes Umizam Muchach Deim Lo Badka Berishon Rak Be'echad Miyamim Emsayim Ubeshvi Lo Mahani Delokam Hashikasa B'Dalgam Rivava. So the Piskei Tshuva understands that there is either some chazara or some difference of opinion between what the Noda Behuda wrote in the Dalgam Rivava and what the Noda Behuda wrote in the Tshuvas, meaning that the way the Piskei Tshuva presents the issue, there's no distinction to be made between a b'dika on day 1 and day 3, and a b'dika on day 3 and day 7. If you assume that a b'dika on day 3 and day 7 would work, because it's within the 5-day window, then by the same token, a b'dika on day 1 and day 3 should work just as well. That's the assumption of the Piskei Tshuva, editorializing about this comment of the Noda Behuda. In the Mishmeres Satara, Rabbi Karp, he suggests that maybe there is no stira, and maybe indeed the Dagum Rivava and the Noda Behuda independent comments could be resolved as not being contradictory. And to understand this, we should look at a possibility in Rishonim that the Mishmeres Satara Rabbi Karp expounds on, as does the Badi Shulchan on page Shin. So to begin this, let's take a look at the Ramban's Hilchos Nida, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Ramban writes, and in the Marmor Comics I sent out today, there is an error. It's Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel is the correct Marmakam. So Ramban writes, Kol Shivas Hayamim Tzricha Bedika Pam Achas B'Choyam. So all 7 days, you require a bedika once a day. That's the position of the Ramban. Badka biyom harishon o b'sheni o b'shlishi. Let's say a woman performs a bedika either on day 1 or on day 2 or on day 3. V'shuvlo badka, and she does not perform another bedika again. Bodekes b'shas tfilasa v'daya. She must, or she may, perform another bedika prior to tevila. And that would be sufficient.
May or must?
She may. Well, if she doesn't, then she can't be tovelas. So in order to allow her to be tovelas, she may perform another bedika on right before the tefillah, meaning she neglected to perform a bedika on day 7. Let's say she performed the bedika on day 2, performed the bedika on day 1, performed the bedika on day 3, and then she neglected to perform subsequent bedikas, including on day 7. She's not done. She doesn't have to restart the count. She can perform a bedika prior to tevila and then be tovelas, which would be essentially on day 8. Okay. So this sounds like, even though we're paskening that you require bedikas on day 1 and day 7. You can make up a lost bedikah on day 7 by performing another bedikah prior to tevila. So essentially you need chilas on this sofan, but the sofan could even be later than day 7, meaning that you don't have that requirement of the smag of not letting 5 days elapse between bedikos. You do require bedika at the end of the Shiva Nakiyam, li'ikuva, but that bedika could be performed even subsequent to day 7. The Baal HaShulchan, the Mishra HaFatara, quote in Or Zeruah saying this as well. Lashon of Or Zeruah, Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Mem Aleph, Chelek Aleph Shin Mem Aleph, within the position of Rav, Kamo Shehita Rav Liezer Kishabaka Bishvi Yachanami Bishmini. That just like a bedika on day 7 is sufficient, a bedika on day 8 would be sufficient as well. And the Mishmar Satara thinks that this is the Rambam's position as well, even though the Rambam is really only Noke, Lashon, and Gemara, so I think you could dispute this. But the Rambam writes in Perek Vav, Halacha Kapes, V'cheinim Badka V'yom Risha Mimei Asvira U'matza Tahor. So she performed the bedika on day 1. U'biyom Hashmini U'matza Tahor. Harezu b'cheskas tara. So that's sufficient to perform a bedikah on day 1 and day 8. So if we're paskening like the position that chilas and afa b'shein sofan, so why do you even need a bedikah on day 8? So it sounds like it's not sufficient to have a bedikah on day 1 and then call it quits. But you need to have a bedika at the end of the process, even if it's beyond day 7. Again, the Rambam here is essentially just Noke Lashon Gemara, because that was the Shaila of the Gemara. So how much you can read into the Rambam may be questionable. But that does more strongly seem to be the position of the Ramban, and perhaps the Or Zeruah as well. So based on this analysis, that according to some Rishonim, it may be sufficient to perform the last bedika after day 7, if it wasn't performed on day 7. So perhaps, suggests the Mishmar HaSatara, that is the difference between what the Noda B'Huda writes in the Dagom Rebava and what he writes in the Noda B'Huda. So if a woman performs a bedika on day 3 and day 7, that should be sufficient. But if you perform a bedika on day 1 and day 3, let's say, and don't follow it up with the bedika at the end of the process, then that would not work, because perhaps Evan would agree within this position that you need to have a bedika at the end of the process, li'ikuva. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, he's mentioned that it's possible to make them. Maybe it's like she has some bad thing, or.
So we'll talk now about how we possible. Okay. So again, in Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. First opinion is that you require a bedika either on day 1 or day 7, li'kuva, but not both. And then the Mechaber says ein lahakel, that you require both 1 and 7 li'kuva. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that it's difficult to understand why the Mechaber is so adamant about this. Now, we did see the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef explains his adamance in light of the fact that we're dealing with a Safek Chi of Kares, which we discussed. What does that mean, Safek Chi of Kares? That sounds like Bedikas or Deraisa, but that was a previous discussion. But the Beis Yosef does explain why he is so machmir here. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan wonders in Sif Kafei and Kavav, how is it that we end up being so machmir against Rov Rishonim, and even the Sefer Truma and the Smag themselves, who are no to lahachmir, only do it b'tar safek? They're not so convinced either. So nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan says we have to have allegiance to the Pesachim and the Mechaber, but under extenuating circumstances, if a woman is having difficulty achieving clean bedikos, and it may make a difference, so there may be what to rely on simply a single bedika and not even to require the two bedikos upon proper consultation. So Yerach HaShochem leaves over that, open that possibility of sometimes a Mor Hara being makel against the Mechaber's Hara of Ein Lahakel. The Piskei Shuv in Sivkat and Zayin quotes from a Shuv on the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, regarding a situation where a woman only performed the initial bedika and did not perform a bedika on day 7, or vice versa. She only performed one of the bedikas that are likuv and not both, and then she went to the mikvah and lansa etzel baila. So in that situation, we're already dealing with a very bedieved circumstance. The Chasam Sofer paskins that you could be makel like the Rov Rishonim and rely on the original single bedika that was performed and not require her to restart or continue the Tara process.
She went to the mikvah
and she slept with her husband. And now the next day she wakes up and asks the Shaila. So in that situation, the Chasam Sofer is not lahakel, because Mikra Adin, we do assume, like the Rov Rishonim, that Tchilasan Afa Bishain Sofan, Sofan Afa Bishain Tchilasan. Okay. And the Rav Avadia writes, Taras Abayis, page Shin Yud Beis, one second, that based on the Chasam Sofer, you could even be Mekel, even if there's only a middle Bedika, even though the Chasam Sofer himself wasn't that Mekel, but since there are many Rishonim for whom a single middle Bedika may be sufficient, in this situation, there are other things you can be makel there as well. Yeah.
My question was why are the Chasam Sofer meaning if there are meaning the Rov Rishonim say one or seven but not the middle, meaning the middle one is a tzaddik, I guess, but
the middle one, some of the Rishonim, the Ravid assumes that that is sufficient. The Rashba, push comes to shove, Yekra Din assumes it is sufficient.
Why there would we not be makel
for the Chasam Sofer? Because you still have It's still not the as robust a group.
Right.
You have Malchus, the Ra and the Rashba, and the Rashba himself says the Chachila should be Machmir, so it's not as robust a group of Rishonim. The Rav Avadia thinks that it's robust enough that under those circumstances you can be
Makel.
I think it's a matter of calculating how the sheet does line up. Okay. So generally speaking, we paskin like the Mechaber is Ein Lahakel. So in a typical situation where women, let's say, even perform bedikas on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, she forgets to perform a bedika on day 7, so we tell her to wait another day to perform a bedika on day 8, and then go to the mikveh after day 8. There may be exceptional circumstances where a posek may paskin based on the Ikra Din to allow for tefillah where only one bedika was performed, but that's obviously on a individual basis. Rabbi Karp quotes from Rabbi Yashiv apparently was mako, that in this kind of a situation, even without a significant shasat chak imperative, the Rav Yashiv is makel if a woman performed bedikas on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, forgot to do bedikah on day 7, that she could go to the mikvah on at the normal time. The way Rabbi Karp presents it, unclear in the citation whether this is also from Rav Yashiv or it's his own, then she should perform a bedikah at night then, as we just discussed, the bedikah prior to tevilah, and with that she could go to the mikvah under those circumstances. He acknowledges that many poskim argue on this. This is a chiddush, but that's what he quotes from Rav Yashiv. Again, I think the psak of the Kubal is to require likuva bedikas minimally on day 1 and day 7, barring major extenuating circumstances where, based on the Yerach HaShochan and others, There may be what to rely on to be make like the Ikar Adin on the first day of Kodesh Shulchan Aruch, which is a day of Rov Rishonim. Okay. We discussed last time the position of the Mil Tzedakah, which is quoted in the Seder Tara, Sivkat and Yud Ches, and cited here in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkat and Gimel, I think? Yeah, Sivkat and Gimel. So the situation, again, of the Mil Tzedakah is a woman begins counting her Shiva Nikiyam, and then, for whatever reason, she loses consciousness of the count. She decides that she's not counting anymore. The two typical situations are either she has some shaila about a mara, and she thinks that the count is off, and then subsequent to that, she either asks the shaila, she discovers that it really wasn't a problem, and she could continue counting, or a situation in which a woman begins counting, and then her husband goes off on some long journey, and her husband's not expected back until way after the end of her Shiva Nikiyam, her scheduled to end. So she gives up and says that she's not going to count anymore because there's no point. And then she changes her mind, or maybe her husband comes back early, and then she wants to continue counting the Shiva Nikiyam. So the way we presented this last time was that even though the position ascribed to the Shalah is a minority position, that you require active sphira of the Shiva Nikiyam, that you actually need to count today is day one of Shiva Nikiyam. But beyond that, the Mil Tzedakah is concerned that you do need a consciousness of the fact that you're in the Shiva Nikiyam. You need to be aware where you are in the count, that you are in the count, and that you are in a process of Shiva Nikiyam. And the other consideration that the Mil Tzedakah raises is aside and independent of the necessary awareness that you are in a count of Shiva Nikiyam, we're also choshesh that if a woman is not fully conscious of where she is in the count, then she may experience some kind of dam, perhaps even bahargasha, that she's not being sensitive to, and maybe there's some argasha of a levadaita consideration, and maybe she'll see dam that would be so fair, but because she's not really thinking about where she is in the count, it's not going to register on her radar, and she's going to miss that dam that otherwise should be so-ser. So because of these two considerations, number one, the notion that you have to have a consciousness of where you are in the cycle, that you are in the count of Shiva Nikiyam, and number two, maybe if you're not fully conscious, you're not going to be sensitive to a potential Riyas Dam. So therefore, the Mil Tzedakah says that if you lose count, or you lose Kavana, that you're in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam, then that's so-ser, and you need to start again. Chachmas Adam presents this lahalacha. Chachmas Adam in Simen Kuf Yudzayin Seif Yudbeis writes, Im Paska Batara Ubishar Yamim Hanakiyim Hisicha Daita Milimnos Linakiyim. So a woman performs a Hefek Tara, and then she has a Hefek Hadas during the count. Kigon shesavra shabayla nasa lamakam acher. She thinks that her husband went to some faraway place. Velo tisarik litpol keis, and she's not going to go to the mikveh anyway. Osha matzakasem bimeis sefirasa upaska betara, or she found a kasem, and she performed a new hefek tara. V'amrula chavirasa shetzricha lahamtin chamisha yamim. And she was given bad halachic advice by her female friends, who told her that she has to wait, count another 5 days. Velo Badka owed, and then she didn't perform any bidikas because she thought she has to wait 5 days because the kesem starts the 5 day count again. And then she finally asked the rabbi, and the rabbi tells her, no, don't listen to your friends, they don't know what they're talking about. Because she lost count, she interrupted her consciousness, excuse me, of Shiva Nikiyam, she needs to start the count again. Okay, so there are two objections raised, there may be more, but two objections I will focus on raised to dispute the position of the Mil Tzedakah. In the Sefer Lechem and Simla, Sifkat and Yud Gimel, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so he points out that this notion of consciousness, of lack of hetach hadas, seems to be against the Mishnah. Excuse me. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Yigimel and Beis, and we pass in this way in Shulchan Aruch here in Ar Simen Se'if Ches, Hachei Reshes Vashota Vasuma Vishenidra Fadaita. So a woman who's not a full Bastas, Hachei Reshes Shota, someone who went crazy, or even a Suma, Im Yesh Lehen Pikchos Mitaknos Asan Vehen Ochus Vachuma. So if there is a woman of sound intelligence who could assist them, so then that other person can assist in the performance of a bidika, and then this woman who is Temeya can go to the mikvah and eat truma. And that's what we pass in here, Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Ches, that a chireshes, who is eina shamas ve'eina midaberes, a real halachic chireshes, she needs the assistance of a pikachas in order to perform bidikas. So says this lecha misimla in Sivkatan Yud Gimel. If it's the case that you need consciousness of being in the Shivanakiyam, so how does it help that your pikachas friend is going to assist you with the bidikos if you're not capable of having the proper consciousness that you're in your Shivanakiyam? What good does it do that the pikachas friend is going to help your bidikas? So he says, unless you're going to distinguish between a nida and a zava, and say that the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel is talking about a nida, benina chanami, a chereshes is incapable of counting shivanakiyim as a zava, which is not reflected anywhere in poskim. So it says, alechem asim, unless you're going to say that, you seem to see from this din of chereshes that you don't need full consciousness of being in the middle of Shivanakiyam. So that's one issue raised in discussion of the Milstaka.
What's the reputation of the Nida and Zava in Mishnah? I've just differentiated.
There's no raya that that's the case. The way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim don't make that distinction. And Shulchan Aruch is quoted in the context of contemporary practice where we are machmir to teach everyone as a Zava as well. Okay. Second issue raised already by the Sidrei Tara. Sidrei Tara here in his long analysis of the Milstaka Sivkat Yud Ches points out, we already discussed in the sugya of Tavu Alinase of Dam Chimud and Das Samach Vav, the Gemara is a Maisa of Ravina, where Ravina intervened to delay a wedding in order to make sure that there would be 7 days of account to make sure that there's no dam chimur. And what emerges in that Gemara, according to many Rishonim, the Rive and the Rashba, is that there wasn't, did not seem to be any consciousness of being in the middle of Shivanakiyam. In fact, Ravina delayed the wedding without informing the Kala why he was delaying the wedding. So she was de facto keeping Shivanakiyam, but there was definitely no active awareness of why she was keeping Shivanakiyam, or that she was keeping it for the sake of avoiding Dam Chimud. Right, that itself we saw as the Machlokas Rishonim, according to the Rashba, according to the Ravid, she didn't require Hefek Tara. According to the Rashba, she didn't even require Bidikos during the Shivanakiyam. So according to those Rishonim, it seems apparent that you don't require such consciousness about the fact that you're in the middle of Shivanakiyam, unless, the Sidrei Tara says, you could distinguish between there, it's only a Chumad Derabbanan of Dam Chimud, and where there's a derisive consideration of the regular count of a Zava. But the Sidrei Tara himself thinks that that distinction is somewhat dochuk. He leaves this as a issue to be dealt with in analyzing the position of the Mil Tzaka, even though the Sidrei Tara himself, in the end, is Choshesh for the Mil Tzaka. Okay. So again, the middle stalker is of the opinion that we require a consciousness of being in the middle of Shem and Nekiyam, and a Hesach Hadas would pose a problem even post facto. The two issues that we raise, that Achronim raise against the middle stalker, are number one, the Raya from Chereshes. You see that even if a woman is not a Basas, as long as she has the assistance of a Pikakos and perform the Bedikos, that is sufficient to allow her to go through the process of Shem and Nekiyam. Apparently you don't need consciousness of being in the middle of Shem Nekiyam. And number two, the Raya from those who shown him in the Sugya and Samach Vav of Tabuli Nasei, where they understood in the Gemara and the Maisa of Ravina that there wasn't even need for B'dikos under those circumstances, and definitely no need for a consciousness of being in the middle of Shem Nekiyam. Okay. There's a tshuva of Nesi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi, Yoredeya Simen Kuf Nun Vav, in which he discusses the following two scenarios. He presents the Bar Pluk of the Mil Tzak as being the Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch. Right, there are two Tzemach Tzedeks, the Kadmon and Lubavitch. So he presents this as being a machlokas between the Milsak and the Tzemach Tzedek. Be that as it may. So he says that what happens in a situation where a woman begins her process of Shiv Nekiyam, and she has a Shiloh. So because of the Shiloh, she kind of puts the Shiv Nekiyam on hold until she's Nevarer what her status is. So in that situation, Rasi Pesach Frank says that Evdah should agree, even the Mil Tzaka should agree that that's not considered Hesach Hadas. That if you're waiting until you ask the Shaila, even if you don't perform B'dikas in the interim, you're waiting to ask the Shaila, so you're not Mesiyat Das from the process of Shiv Nekiyam, you're just waiting until you get resolution to your question. But he thinks Evdah should agree over there, that would not constitute a Hesach Hadas.
The situation where the husband goel receives, right?
Yeah.
The woman intentionally stops counting.
Right.
Wouldn't that be similar to that case? Because she also would intentionally put it on hold?
No. In the first case, she has a Shiloh. So she's waiting to ask the Rav how to resolve the Shiloh. She knows that if the Rav tells her that it's fine, she's going to continue the count. In the situation of Medina Sayam, so it's totally removed from her consciousness now. Her husband's gone, and he's not coming back in the next week.
But assuming that she somehow mentally said, I'm going to put it on hold, put it on hold until he comes back in a month from now, and then I continue for whatever reason, then that in theory would be fine.
Well, if it's a month from now, so then you need a new count. If it's after, if it's more than... So you're saying, if a woman would say, as far as I know, my husband's gone for a week, but if I find out tomorrow that he's coming back tomorrow, then I'll restart the counts, and maybe that's more analogous. Okay, maybe. Then the second situation that he addresses is the opposite. Let's say, this is a Maisa Shai, apparently, that there is a Kala who is unaware that she had to count Shiv and Nekiyam, but the Maisa, she performed B'dikos every day because she wanted to make sure that she wasn't seeing Dam. But she wasn't performing the B'dikos for any halachic reason. So that's kind of like the Tabuli Nasa issue. There, Rasi Pesach Frank thinks that everyone should agree in the other direction, that is a absolute Hesach Hadas, which would, more than a Hesach Hadas, you need to know, even if you're Mesiyat Das in the middle, even if you assume not like the middle of Tzaka, that you don't have to have full consciousness of being in the middle of Shiv Nekiyam the whole process. But you at least have to start with an awareness that you're counting Shiv Nekiyam. So if even at the get-go you're not performing B'dikas for the sake of Shiv Nekiyam, then that's nothing, and that would not count. Kind of like what the Chassam Sofer writes in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, HaB'dika B'yom Aleph HaVehara SheMechanes Atma Lisbor V'lishmor Hayam Me'ela. B'dika on day one serves the purpose of indicating through some action that she's beginning the process of Shiv Nekiyam. That's how the Chasam Sofer there explains that, a little bit different than the Chidushim that we quoted last time. The Chasam Sofer explains that that's what B'dikas accomplish. It's some sort of a expression, befoel, that's removing moving it from the status of Dvarim Shebalev, but some kind of active sphera. Okay. So among which case? Yeah, so maybe Lemaisa, it is we assume lahalacha that you do require bedikas during the Shiva Nikiyam, during the period of Shiva Nikiyam for Akala, Mishum Dam Chimut. So in a Hanami, if we paskin that way, then maybe, but Lemaisa, we do require bedikas during that period. Makala does require bedikas.
Right.
Masai Rashba is not lahalacha.
Maybe I misunderstood. I think that we were saying that the Kala checked herself every day.
Right.
But she just didn't have the daf that this was for Ravina.
Right.
So why is that not similar? You mentioned that it was, I didn't understand, to the story of Ravina, where he pushed off the wedding and had the Kala not, she didn't have daf that she was doing Ravina then. So this girl's even better than the leader of the Ravina married.
Correct. The we paskin, however you understand the Maaseh Ravina, we paskin that a kala does require bedikas, even if it's mishum tabuli nase, mishum chimur. So the Maaseh that doesn't help. Okay. Fine. So here's the tshuva of the Marsham in Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yudalid, where the Marsham is makel against the mil tzedakah in a situation of a husband that travels out of town, and she stops the count and then wants to restart it. However, many poskim are choshesh for the mil tzedakah. There's a shuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Dalet Simen Ayin Gimel, Chela Dalet Simen Ayin Gimel, where he explains that that is the Psach and Mekubal to be Choshesh. Rabbi Karp Koser of Yashiv was Choshesh for this position. Rabbi Eider Koser of Moshe was Choshesh. So it does seem that the majority of Poskim, every case would need to be analyzed on it. It's nothing that happens that often, but were it to happen, it would have to be analyzed on its merits. Rabbi Willie points out, others say this, the Tara Savayev quotes those that say this, that even if you are kosher for the mil tzedakah, but as long as you don't have a full lapse of a full day, as far as the hetzach hadas, that shouldn't concern us. Meaning, a woman in the morning is nasich hadas, but before the end of that day, she restarts her consciousness of the shiva nikiyam. So there, you wouldn't have to be kosher for the mil tzedakah. But in a situation where the lack of consciousness lasts for a full day. So then, many poskim are indeed choshesh, and everything would have to be analyzed on an individual basis. Okay. We had referenced briefly earlier the question as to whether a bedika could be performed by Laila. So we know that Tosan Adav Zayin seems to say unequivocally no, which is the general approach of poskim. But under extenuating circumstances, there may be what to be makel about. You take a look, for example, at the Chazon Ish in Simen Sadi Beis Os Yud Beis. Simen Sadi Beis Os Yud Beis. The Chazon Ish leaves with the Tzarach Iyam, but has a strong tzad that perhaps a Bedika Balayla would be valid. And the Ramah here raises a different issue. The Ramah in Sif Dalet, where he writes that bedika tia lo or hayom v'lo lo or ner, with the avin mahani afilo or ner, that sounds like the issue is being able to ascertain what is presented on the bedika. In order to have a accurate view of the color, it should be lo or hayom and not lo or ner. That's a distinct issue from the question as to whether a bedika performed by Laila is a valid bedika. Sphira is bayom, so does bedika have to be the same, have the same standards as sphira? Could a bedika by Laila be valid? So you can take a look at that chazanish. Again, lamaisa, we are generally makir, but under extenuating circumstances, there may be what to be makil about. Okay. So let's just briefly address the comment of the Ramah in Se'if Yud. The Ramah writes, yeah. No, he is saying that the bedika should be performed Loraner, but I think the issue there is one of being able to discern what is presented on the bedika, not the actual performance of the bedika. I mean, when it says it should be Lora Yom and not Lora Ner, so there are two things that go together, the performance of the bedika and then the ability to see what's on the bedika.
Right. So you're saying if you did the bedika, you could look at it at night, but Lora Ner.
Right. No, he is saying b'di'evah mahani afil or haner, if the bedika is performed or haner. So the Gemara Daf Yud Zayin is talking about bedikas in the context of bedika kodem tashmish, which is not the bedika of shivanakiyam. So that's where the Gemara seems to indicate that a bedika lorner may be good bidiyevit, even though it's not optimal. That's really what the Ramah is working off of. Even though this is in Kuf Sadivah, which is in the context of a bedika for shivanakiyam. Okay, I have to think that through a little bit more. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick up with that Emirat Hashem next time, and then I think our focus in the next Chabura will be Paleta Shechazara and Shechir Aleph, and if we need it, I'll try to send you more Marmachamot by tomorrow.